So I'm going to be talking this morning about the continuation in 1 Corinthians 13. I'll admit to you, this was a challenge for me, a huge challenge, for a couple of reasons. It's 1 Corinthians 4, the first part of the verse, and I'll read it a couple of times out of different translations. Out of the King James, charity suffereth long and is kind, charity envieth not. Out of the Message, love never gives up, love cares more for others than for self, and love doesn't want what it doesn't have. I'm going to take these in reverse order. I'm going to talk about what the Scripture says, envy first, which is very interesting because in many translations, that is jealous. And in other translations, it's envy. And I think when you look at the original Greek, the word is jealous. And we have a confusion in our own language about jealousy and envy. And so I think it can be a problem. Because jealousy is focused on, I want, you want to go?
Yeah, because whenever you,
there. Oh, okay, all right. When you talk about jealousy, jealousy says, I want what Josh Cooper has. When you talk about envy, it says, since I don't have what Josh Cooper has, I don't want Josh Cooper to have it either. So jealousy is focused on material things. Envy is focused on the person. And that's a huge difference. And my personal opinion is we don't need to do either. If I'm walking in love, I'm obviously not going to be doing either one of those. And that's what this whole chapter is about. I'm going to be talking about these two or these three individual things. Do you want me to go to a different mic? I'm going to be talking about these three things, but the reality is the important part is love is. Love is. And the whole chapter where these things are verbs about things we are supposed to be doing, the focus is I can't do any of them if I don't have love. And so it's really the focus of these objects that we're talking about, these things that we're talking about, is the love part of it. That I need to be loving in ways that in my flesh I cannot be loving. And God has to work that love. And I have to allow God to work that love. So for jealousy and envy, what is it in my life or has been in my life that causes me to behave in a jealous or envious way? Because they are verbs, so it is a behavior. And that can be a huge challenge to figure out what it is that causes me to be jealous and envious. And the reality becomes, I can't fix that. We try to fix it, and we can't. Because He is the one who fixes us. And He fixes us by love. Love is the only thing, I am convinced of this, because of what He's done in my life and the way He has done it. The only thing that has changed me has been His love. Love never fails. Did you ever stop to think about what that really means? What does it keep from failing? It keeps me in His path. It doesn't fail to love me. It doesn't fail to keep me walking in his path. So it's a challenge to figure out, why does Denny get jealous in certain situations? Okay? Why does Denny get envious in certain situations? You mean that happens to me? Yeah, it does. Not as much as it used to, but there's times when it surfaces and it's like, okay, where did that come from? And then I've got to go to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, where did this come from? What is it you want to heal or change in my life so that I am not jealous and I am not envious? He is the only one who can do that. You can't do it. He does it. Kind. Love is kind. Interesting. That word kind, it's the only place that's used in the New Testament. There's no other place where that word, the Greek word, is used in the New Testament. The noun is used many, many times, but the verb, that's the only place the verb is. So kindness, it's the same thing. How do I be kind? And what does kindness look like? And I'm going to challenge you that the kindness of God leads men to repentance. But that kindness may not look like our kindness. We think of kindness in the terms of it feels good, may look good, I get a pat on the back, somebody tells me how good I've done this particular thing or how great that is in my life. And that is kindness, and God does do that. But it's the kindness of God that also causes me to change, to not be jealous or envious. And that kind of kindness working in my life can sometimes be messy and not feel too good. But it's the kindness of God. It's the kindness of God that leads me to be a different person than I am. Because the gospel, part of the gospel, is you are to be different tomorrow than you are today. And next week, and the week after, and the week after. It is a growth process. Part of the gospel is growing into, allowing him to grow you into being more Christ-like. And that's a huge challenge. Don't ever think it's an easy thing to do. All right? And it's times and it's because, and there's times then because of that that I say, I'm not going there. I'm not going there, Lord. I don't want to know what was back here that caused me to behave in an unchristlike manner today. But he is kind and says, okay, we'll put that on the shelf for a while. And we'll deal with this over here that you're okay dealing with. And then, lo and behold, when he's ready and he knows I'm ready, back up comes this other thing that says, okay, now let's deal with this that keeps you from being kind, or let's deal with this issue that gives you the jealousy or gives you the envy. It is who he is. His love is so perfect for us that he will not leave us where we are. His desire is that we become whole and healthy people. That is his ultimate desire, and everything he does is aimed at that purpose. So let's take a look at the last one. Long suffering. Where do I? These are scriptures that come out of the Old Testament. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Should focus on that slow to anger. The Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. There's that word long-suffering. But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. The words long-suffering really mean, I don't want to say this, well, just what it means, okay? It means long, two Greek words put together, long and wrath. Long wrath. What that means is that it takes a long time for me to become angry or express wrath. It takes a long time for God to become angry. He is long-suffering. He is patient with us. He knows exactly how to shape us. He knows exactly how long it's going to take for Denny Ferguson to deal with this particular issue. All right? These three things are the way that we are to behave toward each other. These have nothing to do with objects other than jealousy. But it's how you treat people. It's how you relate to people. And we all have people in our lives that it's very difficult to be long-suffering toward. All of us do. And the question becomes, what is it in my life that causes me not to be long-suffering toward a particular individual? What is it about my life that causes me to be that way? Because I want to say something to you. We always have a reason for our behavior. Always. We do not behave just to behave that way. We behave because of the way we've been raised, the way we've been trained, the wounds of our past, a whole raft of issues. And that's what drives our behavior today. And so if I've got a problem with an individual, okay, and by the way, I don't believe in personality conflicts. They're driven by previous behavior. So I take a look at why is this person so difficult for me? What is it about my upbringing? What is it about my woundedness in terms of what happened to me? What is it about the way somebody in my past treated me? What is it about the way my parents' issues caused me to be this way that causes my behavior to be unchristlike toward a certain individual or a certain person? And there's a place where we have to deal with that if we want to grow in Christ. There's a place where we have to take a look at it. And we learn to take a look at it without condemnation. And I think that is a huge issue because we see these issues in our life, these issues that we should love, that we should love, and we run up against where, what? Wait a minute, this is not loving. And we condemn ourselves because we should be. But the reality becomes, God's not condemning us. He simply wants to work on our lives to bring a wholeness where that doesn't become an issue in my life. That I become healed, whole, walking in a way that there's a place where I can walk up to somebody who used to give me a problem and have a genuine love for them. A genuine God kind of love for them, where I can be long-suffering with them because God was long-suffering with me. Because he didn't force me, because he didn't push me, because he worked with where I was, that I need to be that way toward others. And so just allow God to work. Allow him to work in your life. Say, Holy Spirit, come. Speak to me, show me. If I could have the musicians come back up and begin to just play. All right? Because I want to do a kind of a little activation here. And you're free to do it or you're free not to do it. Because that's, God gives you that choice. If you've got pencil and paper, you may want to have pencil and paper. But I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit to come now. So Holy Spirit, come. You're here. And you've been here from the very beginning. So I just welcome your presence now. Father, that you would cause us to be aware of you. Cause us to be aware of your presence. That you are here. Let us sense that. Let us feel that. And we thank you, Lord, that you can manifest yourself. That we know that you're here, and we can feel it, and we can sense it. And so, Father, I would ask you now to speak to each one of us. Father, about anything that you would want us to change in our life or deal with or what is going on, that we can be more of who you want us to be. Speak to us about long-suffering. Speak to us about kindness. Speak to us about envy and jealousy. And what is my part in all of that? You love us so much, you never leave us alone. And so speak to us now, Lord. Speak to us.